Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So we want to look at the subject of the fruit of kingdom prosperity. We are generally handling the theme of the fruits of the kingdom. And then Matthew chapter 21 and then verse 43 says, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it." So the kingdom of God has got fruits, and God wants us to bear that fruit of the kingdom on this earth, even as we get ready for the kingdom future. Revelation 22 verse 2 also says, "In the middle of the streets, of its streets, and on either side of the river was the tree of life." So there is a tree of life, "which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month." Please underline every month. "The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." So there are 12 fruits of the kingdom, you know, and God wants these fruits to be exemplified in our lives. These fruits are the fruits of the tree of life. This tree of life is our Lord Jesus Christ. So when he comes into your life, you allow him to bear his fruits through you. It is not you trying to do anything to bear fruit, but allowing Jesus, who is in you, to live his life through you. That means that you obey him, you follow what he wants you to do, and then you see that the fruit will come effortlessly. Hallelujah. So we are looking at one particular fruit of the 12 called kingdom prosperity. I must also say that fruit in the Bible was first used in the New Testament, I should say, was first used concerning character. So when we talk about fruits of the kingdom, we are talking about certain character that people who belong to the kingdom of God must bear. They must show in their lives. Okay. So Jesus Christ said, for example, "By their fruit you shall know them." Not by their works, W-O-R-K-S. Not by their words, W-O-R-D-S. But by their fruit, inferring their character, you will know them. So these fruits of the kingdom, basically, are character traits, you know, that people who belong to the kingdom must bear. I know somebody will say that, well, can prosperity be a character? Yes, prosperity can be a character if it is the kingdom type. Kingdom prosperity is a character. It is a nature that you can have, you know. So you can have a nature of kingdom prosperity so that you can live prosperously all your life, so to speak. Hallelujah. God wants us to bear this fruit of the kingdom. When I get through, you understand that. You understand why kingdom prosperity is a character that believers who belong to the heavenly kingdom must bear. So there is such a thing as kingdom prosperity. Philippians 4:19 says that, "My God shall supply your needs, all your needs, according to his riches in glory." The glory is talking about the heavenly kingdom. So God's prosperity in the heavenly kingdom, when it comes upon your life, then we can see that you have kingdom prosperity, or prosperity from glory. Hallelujah. God wants us to live a prosperous life. Hallelujah. God is not interested in us living poor lives. That is why he said that we should give to the poor. If God wants us to lead a poor life, or he wants us to be poor, he should not have told us to give to the poor. Because when you give to the poor, you are defeating his will for the people, for the poor. You understand? Then the poor must always be poor, and you must not give to the poor. But once he says that we should give to the poor, then you must have an understanding that God doesn't want people to be poor. That is why he says we should give to the poor, so that the poor will overcome their need situation, their poverty situation. If God wants us to be poor, then why does he promise to meet all our needs? Then he will be contradicting himself. If he wants us poor, and at the same time he says, I want to meet your needs, then God is contradicting himself. So, and he doesn't contradict himself. So God does not want us poor. He wants us to grow from the place of poverty that you may be to the place of abundance. He came that we will enjoy life in abundance. He's a God of abundance. Hallelujah. If being poor or poverty was God's way of teaching us great lessons, then why didn't God tell us to pray for it? Why didn't God say, pray for poverty to come upon your life? If God wants to teach us great lessons through being poor, why didn't he say that when we come, we should call all the poor people, all the rich people, lay hands on them so that they become poor? You see, God doesn't tell us to do that because he doesn't want us poor. If he wants people poor, then God will want us to bless people with poverty, impart poverty to people. So God doesn't want you and I to be perpetually poor. If our Lord Jesus wants us poor, he would not have brought the kingdom, because the kingdom is the solution to poverty. Poverty is not in the heavenly kingdom. It is not in glory. And he wants his will on earth to be like his will in heaven, so to speak. He wants his will in heaven, I should say, to be his will on earth, because he doesn't change. If his will in heaven is prosperity, well-being, abundance, and his will on earth is lack and poverty, then God is changing. But he doesn't change.
No,
he doesn't change. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. God does not want us poor. So I want you to understand that poverty has no place in the kingdom or the rule of God anywhere. Now, we want to spend the rest of the time looking at the differences between kingdom prosperity and religious prosperity. You know, there is kingdom prosperity, prosperity that you get according to his riches in glory. And then we have prosperity that you get according to this earth. That's religious prosperity. Okay? I want us to see the difference so that we would allow Jesus to bear the fruit of kingdom prosperity that he can bear in this earthly life that we are in. Religious prosperity, I'll say three differences in succession quickly, just because I have gone through this one with you, but just so that we come up to speed before we continue the differences between kingdom prosperity and religious prosperity. First of all, we have said that religious prosperity is where prosperity is not a part of a person's nature, but it is something that the person could achieve in times past. Okay? Kingdom prosperity is the opposite. Kingdom prosperity is part of your nature. It's part of you. It's a character trait. You know, so much a part of you that everywhere you are placed, you prosper. You can be taken from a very bad economy and given and put in a very good economy and put in a bad economy, but because prosperity is a part of you, it's a part of your nature, it's a character trait that you have, you can generate prosperity in the place of poverty. You can do well. Hallelujah. Now, secondly, religious prosperity is where you prosper in an aspect of your life and not holistically. Kingdom prosperity is the opposite. In kingdom prosperity, your prosperity is holistic. It's in every aspect of your life. It's not just in your financial life and spiritually you are so bankrupt. You know, when I say that you don't have any spirituality at all, you don't have any respect for God at all, but you are rich. That is not kingdom prosperity. You know, kingdom prosperity is prosperity of your will, prosperity of your mind, prosperity of your emotions. It is also prosperity of your finances. Okay, it's a total thing. It's a prosperity of your physical body. It's a total thing. 3 John chapter 2 teaches us that. Now, the third thing that I'm going to say is that we have said already, actually, the third thing, prosperity and religious prosperity, is that kingdom prosperity is gotten through work, not a gift. Kingdom prosperity is gotten through work. Hallelujah. If people are always gifting you things, please, you have to watch it. Because in order for us to get kingdom prosperity, you know, the people who are allergic to work, I don't know why. Some people, when you mention work, then they be mad. Especially when you mention secular work. But you see, our holy God, our God, spiritual God, when he came on this earth, when he was on earth, so to speak, in the first kingdom era, secular work. Did you see God doing any spiritual work, so to speak? No. He was doing secular. He was creating trees. He was creating fishes. He was creating animals. He was creating, planting a garden in the eastern side of Eden. He was creating man. Everything that he did could be seen as, so to speak. Everything that he did was secular. How come? And that is the first impression we have about God when he came on earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The Spirit of God was moving on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And then God started to make things. He made the firmament, created the firmament. He made the sun, he made the moon. Everything God did was physical. How come this same God gives an impression of himself that on earth he wants to do secular things, will tell you that don't do secular things? It doesn't add up. That is not the first impression we get about God. So Lord Jesus, he was a carpenter. He was doing secular work, things that you could see. And that is kingdom life demonstrated. Demonstrating kingdom life was not when he started to preach, repent for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. No. Demonstrating kingdom life was what, how he led his life from a baby till he was 33 when he died. Hallelujah. So for 30 years being a carpenter, so to speak, it was kingdom life he was in. Teaching full time for 3 years was kingdom life he was living. Don't limit it to his 3 years and say that that is kingdom living when you have to preach always, so to speak, like Jesus. What about when he was a carpenter for the majesty on this earth? After the manner that his father God had demonstrated. I'm saying this so that we understand, because sometimes when you read the Bible, some of you, you take it to a certain point, which is all right. I have many people who have vowed that they will not work. It's not God who has told them not to work, so to speak. You know? But they don't like to do it. You give them job, they stop. They stop. I have found jobs for people who have stopped. Why? They come to my house, they tell me that God says they shouldn't work. I say, this God who came on earth, anointed, most spiritual, he was doing secular work. How spiritual are you not to do secular work? Not to create trees. I'm not saying create trees, but create things that we can see. Because you are a physical ambassador, not a spiritual ambassador. These are the spiritual ambassadors. They do things in the spirit. We are supposed to do things in the flesh. That is why we have got bodies.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Yeah. Dominion Embassy is a non-traditional teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. All right. So that is the third. I'm not saying by this that nobody should do full-time work. I hope you understand. Right? That's not what I'm saying. The fourth difference between kingdom prosperity, religious prosperity, is that kingdom prosperity is founded on meditating and obeying the word of God. It's founded on meditating and obeying the word of God. This word of God is our Lord Jesus Himself. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and then verse 8 to 9. Joshua chapter 1 and then verse 8 to 9. Joshua comes after the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 and 9 says, "This book of the law," please underline, "this book of the law." He's talking about the word of God. And the word of God is Jesus Christ. Now, you can put Jesus' name there. Alright? "The word of God, the book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth." In other words, you shall say the word of God. "Shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." So you meditate in the word of God, you meditate on the Lord Jesus, who is the word of God, and you do according to the word of God, according to Jesus, for then you will make your way prosperous. Then means that it is when you meditate in the word of God and you become a doer of the word of God that you make your way prosperous. Hallelujah. You are the one who is to make your own way prosperous. Because as far as Jesus Christ became poor for us on the cross, He has finished all that He has to do about our being well in this life. So the rest is left with you. If you shall focus on Jesus, if you shall think about Him, to meditate means to speak on your lips. In the Hebrew here, it means speak on your lips. You know, it's a way of thinking about the Word of God. Meditate in the Greek also means to roll in your mind, to roll something in your mind. It simply means to think. Let your thoughts be full of Jesus. Think about Him. And when your thoughts are full of Jesus, you will see that you are living out. You are living out Jesus. Hallelujah. So that is how prosperity comes about. It comes by meditating in the word of God. It comes by obeying God. Religious prosperity is the opposite. And religious prosperity, all that people do is work. And they don't have anything to do with Jesus. They don't have anything to do with meditating in the word of God. Thinking about the kingdom word. All that they do, they wake up on no quiet time. They just rush to work. And they believe that when they do hours of work and all that, then they will become prosperous. True, you become prosperous. But that one is not kingdom prosperity. Kingdom prosperity is founded on your obedience to the word of God. It is founded on your rolling the word of God in your mind. That's why there are some people whose prosperity is religious in nature. You will see $100 million. Another person can have $100 million. You see them maybe doing the same thing physically, having the same companies, having the same cars and all that. But don't let anybody fool you. Ladies and gentlemen, with your eyes you see that this man is as rich as this man. But the prosperity is different. One person's want can be founded on meditating on the word of God and doing the word of God. Focus on Jesus, who is the word of God. So that person may be full of Jesus, may be full of the word of God. He gives time to the word of God. The other person may be as rich as this man I've just described, but here's the thing, because he has no time for the word of God, he has no respect for the word of God. He can spend all his hours in a secular work, do all the work. He is paid the same way as the other person who is meditating in the word of God. But don't be deceived, their prospects are different. One is founded on the word of God, rolling the word of God in his life. So this person's prosperity is so bleak. He is rich spiritually, he is rich financially, he is rich in his marriage, he is rich in his career, he is rich in his ministry, he is totally rich. The other person, you can see him driving maybe more flashy cars. Don't be deceived. That one is religious prosperity. When he has no respect for Jesus, no respect for quiet time, no respect for the word of God. He can be a believer, be in church, yet his take on Jesus, who the word of God made flesh, is different from the other one. In kingdom prosperity, we get to look at the scripture, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. You must understand that the people of Israel, that Joshua was good, they had come from the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness, and they have to enter into the high place on earth that God had got for them. He called it the promised land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. And God comes to Joshua and tells him, this is how you are going to do well, make your way prosperous. This is how you are going to get my people into the promised land. Meditate in the word of God. Let Jesus be your focus. Look at the, let's end it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Align good success. There is success and there is success. There is good success and there is bad success. They are all successes in the face of human beings. But one is good. Which one is the good? The kingdom one. The one that comes by not neglecting the word of God, not neglecting your spirituality, not neglecting meditating on Lord Jesus. That is good success. Bad success is also success, but it's a bad success because it's religious in nature. It doesn't respect Jesus. It doesn't respect the word of God. And I must say this to those of you who are listening. Some of you, you think that, well, Chinese people, they don't have any respect for Jesus and all that, so to speak, generally speaking, I mean, as a nation. And then they are prosperous. So you want to follow them. There is success and there is success. There is good success, there is bad success. Some of you, your respect for the word of God, for Jesus, is so questionable. You know it yourself. You can be blessed. You can have clothes. You can have cars. You can have promotion. Everything. Please understand, it's not kingdom prosperity. It is religious in nature. And I tell you what, anything that is religious in nature, the devil will come for it. The devil will shake it. It's only the kingdom of God, which is an everlasting kingdom, that cannot be shaken. We receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably. The kingdom cannot be shaken. Kingdom issues cannot be shaken. It is founded on the rock. The rock is Jesus. He said, so therefore, those of you who hear these sayings of mine and do them, you are like somebody who built his house on a rock. The wind can come, the rain can come, the devil can come, all the demons, so to speak, from your hometown, they can come against you. In Africa, all the corrupt people and everything can come against you, but they cannot push you down because of what? It's of the kingdom. It's according to his riches in glory. Not according to his riches in your workplace, so to speak, in your economy, so to speak, in your nation, so to speak. The difference between believers and unbelievers is that believers must never move away from the person that they believe in, the Lord Jesus, the Word of God. He says that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. When you do it, you obey Jesus, you obey the kingdom word, you make your way prosperous, and you have good success. Bad success is success that didn't come because you respect Jesus and the word of Jesus, the kingdom word. You respect other things, other words of other people, but not the words of Jesus. He said in Matthew chapter 7, that therefore, is it verse 24? So therefore I say to you, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and he was ending his sermon on the mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the last part of 7, he said, therefore I say to you, if you hear these sayings, which sayings was he talking about? The sayings in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, or the sayings of Jesus. These are the sayings that he came and said. For example, you have heard it said, you shall love your friend and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemy. Love your enemy. The word of God may have said in times past, hate your enemy. But he says that, me, Jesus, I'm saying to you, it is those words that he said, if you hear these sayings and you love your enemies, you will be founded on a rock. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Meditate in the word of God, what? Day and night. Day and night. Can we all say day and night? Let it fill your day, begin your day, continue through your day, end your day, day and night. Psalm 1 is a very beautiful psalm that we all have to commit to memory. It's a very small psalm, but it's rich. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't follow the advice or the lifestyle of unbelievers. They don't respect God's word, which he has exalted above all his name. They don't respect Jesus, nor stands in the way, in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, underlying delight, is in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? It's Jesus. His delight is in Jesus. Or if you like, in the word of the kingdom. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You see the day and night again. Meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. The one whose delight is in the word of the kingdom. Kingdom prosperity is part of his nature. Everywhere that he goes, he can generate it. In every economy, he can generate it. Because it's a character trait that he has. Says that such a person, he can be in a desert, but he's like a tree in the desert that is planted by the rivers of water. It will always flourish. Whatever he does shall prosper. What is the secret? Jesus. Can we all say Jesus? Let me show you the second difference between kingdom prosperity and religious prosperity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and then verse 9. It says what? It says that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. You know the grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, Jesus was rich, not so, yet for your sakes he became poor. When did he become poor? On the cross. Jesus, when he was on earth, when he was in glory, he was rich. When he was on earth by earth standards, he was rich. When he became poor was when he was on the cross, because he has taken our place. For your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So the question is that, how do we become rich? If you ask this question to the average believer, he will mention a number of things. You have to be a giver. Give to the church, give to the poor, give to people, and all that. He's going to tell you something else. Invest wisely. He's going to tell you something else. You must be a hardworking person. Every rich person in the world, you go into their life, they are hardworking people. These are the answers that you are going to receive.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.